From theunts.com, this is The Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to The Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week on the program, my guest is Anthony Magliano. Back in 2004, Magliano co-founded Quixotic Fusion with the concept of fusing art, fashion, dance, and music, bringing together experts in the field of modern ballet, sound design, composition, percussion, aerial acrobatics, animation, lighting, and projection. Quixotic has transformed into a multi-platform performance production much bigger than the sum of its parts. While we will focus on the music in this interview, which fuses tribal, classical, and futuristic elements, Quixotic is so much more than that. You're a composer. Tell me about your musical upbringing. I understand your foundations are in percussion.
Yeah, percussion and drumming. I've played in indie rock bands. I've played in funk, reggae bands, dub bands. Now, with what Quixotic does, I'm really into kind of infusing really what I've been inspired from my entire life, which is electronic music integrated with, you know, electro-acoustic combinations. So the music that I like to make now is a combination of both. You know, playing everything from drum set to hand drums to percussion to synth to electronic drums to, you know, all that. It's just, I really enjoy blending all of it together these days.
Okay, sort of a multi-instrumentalist. Were you exposed to theater, dance, and multi-platform art as a kid?
Actually, I was a little bit, but mostly inspired when some good friends of mine who are dancers, they'd come to see our shows doing live music and playing in clubs, and the dancers would come to the shows and were like, oh, you should come see us dance. And so, you know, we kind of trade off. It's like, okay, well, since you are here, I'm going to go see what you do. And, you know, and I became really close with the dance community and the performing arts community and started getting exposed to a lot more, you know, performance and theater performances. You know, that's really how this group kind of got started. But yeah, that's to answer your question. I've been inspired by, you know, the early days of like what Blue Man Group and Stomp were doing, and then all the way to today, like what Yonsi Sigaros is doing, where he's really creating a theatrical production out of his album.
And it's sure,
like
sure.
More of a show.
Tell me then about the founding of Quixotic. Walk me through the genesis of what must have been and still is quite an ambitious endeavor.
Yeah, well, I was in graphic design school, and, you know, it's funny because when I was in school, you know, I was really thinking visually, like, how do I take my music and my visual background and create something much bigger? And, you know, it's almost like I always had these visions in my head, but just never had the means, nor did I know the right people to pull it off, because Quixotic is pairing of the right people to pull this off, a lot of disciplines. But what would, you know, Quixotic, the beginnings and, you know, going in school, thinking about it, I ended up meeting all the right folks after school. And basically, I met a guy named Keelan Whitmore, who is actually a choreographer and a dance performer. And the two of us had an idea that we wanted to create some kind of installation performance, integrating the fashion community, the music, you know, live music community, and theatric production, scenic production, and film, all together, and the dance, of course, and all together to create a unique show. So what we did is we actually did a performance in like an old building that we created a, you know, show on. The building was actually an art gallery, converted, and that was our first show, and it was more of an installation performance. So that's kind of the beginnings, is, you know, it's kind of a pairings of, okay, I have a really good friend of mine that's a cellist, and I'm going to do the percussion on the piece, and this friend of mine that's a choreographer is going to come in, and then we're going to have this other friend of ours that's, you know, an amazing set designer / fashion designer. We're going to create a piece, and what we would do is create cohesive pieces that all got orchestrated together. So that's kind of the origins of it. And really it was more, you know, it was very progressive, very fine art, underground. The second year we did these types of events, we'd go in old abandoned buildings and actually spend a month to 2 months really just cleaning the building up and getting it ready and building our experience inside the building and, you know, create these, you know, theatrical experiences. And we would usually find buildings that were like, they're totally off the beaten path, places that people normally wouldn't, you know, go to. And
tetanus habitats.
Yeah, exactly. Which was part of the, you know, I thought was the cool factor, is that we're doing these and people are like, have you heard of this building? No, that's a weird address. Yeah, let's go. Let's go check it out. And, you know, the hype built up and people were like, yeah, let's go check this out. And we had the ticket prices really, you know, quite affordable, $5 to $10. And we would, you know, we provided beer and wine, and it was very actually pretty simple from that point of view. We didn't have a box office. It was seriously a card table and a cash box and somebody out front. Very lo-fi, very urban, guerrilla street style, you know, very, very raw. So from there, the popularity in our group grew quite a bit. And the following year, you know, we started getting phone calls to do specialty events in, because within the group, there's quite a bit of diversity as far as what we do and what we offer from a, you know, performance art / contemporary entertainment company. And we're getting called upon to, hey, we saw this show and we love your visuals and how it was laid out and the lighting and the aesthetic of it. It was just really edgy and beautiful and, you know, people loved it and you guys are, you know, really, really forward thinking. So how about you guys come and produce our fashion show, or can you guys come in and perform, you know, before this huge gala of the opening of this hotel? And then, you know, that went on a couple years later. We kept doing these events and these shows and doing more of our own custom shows. And that led to us doing more installation performances with them. We had the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, which is a beautiful art gallery here in Kansas City. And they basically gave us their sculpture garden for the evening. And they said, you know, they're like, hey, we're going to give you some money and we want you to create a beautiful performance on, you know, do really whatever you want with our sculpture garden. And basically that, you know, there's a extension of the art gallery where it's these glowing buildings, glowing walls. And we were able to create our own rigging and apparatuses where we did aerial wall dancing on both surfaces of the building, along with architectural projection mapping, which is what I think we're known for right now with integrating live performance and architectural mapping. But those are the beginnings, and the you know, Nelson Atkins Museum of Art was, you know, really the first place we got to do this. And we did it to about, you know, 5,500 people, and that was another one of those events that was a huge success for us and a different kind of event. Because one thing about Quixotic is we love to change up where we perform. And it might be off of a bridge. It might be, you know, we might be doing bungee on a bridge, you know, synchronized to music. We might be doing it on a wall. We might be, you know, just the stage might be 7 stages and it's more of an experiential where you have, you know, it's kind of a path. So we love to kind of mix up the traditional perception of performance and how it's viewed. Although we also do have our own theatric / live music sets, which are like what we're going to be doing at Wakarusa Festival and Harmony Festival. And, you know, we've played with our great friends, Davochka, where we also, the music is such a huge part of this. We do music sets in more of a concert setting integrated with aerial performance and dance and projections and whatnot. But back to what I was saying about the types of performances and kind of the history. Today, now, as the group has grown, we've performed in most all the theaters here in Kansas City, Denver, Boulder, St. Louis. We've kept pretty regional, that we've stayed really busy just in the region, which is pretty awesome that we've been able to do that and keep this many collective of artists busy creating what they do. But this year, we've been collaborating with Kansas City Symphony, which is a really great effort that they've recognized us as being leaders in the city with innovation and performance, and just they, you know, they're recognizing us as doing something very unique and also appealing to a younger demographic. And kind of the idea behind the show is hopefully to get younger audiences to a symphony. And we're going to, you know, completely transform what people's perception of a symphonic, you know, collaboration might be by integrating the kind of music that we do with, you know, the Kansas City Symphony support and collaboration with us. So we really look forward to that and the opportunity to do that. So just from what I just told you, we're very diverse. It's a core group of people. We have, like, I would say a core team of 12 folks involved, everyone from choreographers to fashion costume designers to projections and lighting, animators, scenic design, rigging and safety for the aerial stuff we do. But yeah, we're really a diverse little group.
Apex from Quixotic Fusion right here on the UNS podcast.
So let's talk about the musical aspect. The band itself, I believe you're all classically trained, but you're able to cover such a wide range of styles, from the almost primal tribal sounds to the very modern and almost futuristic, while still using organic instruments in tandem with your laptops and your synths and all that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. So I'm probably the only one that I'm not classically trained at all. Everyone else in the group is very much classically trained. I am, but I think that's the contrast in the style that we do. I mean, I love working in string arrangements and whatnot over the top of these glitched out beats and more surreal landscape, you know, sound design-esque, you know, compositions. But yeah, Shane Borth is another person that...
Your violinist?
Yeah, Shane Borth, our violinist, violist. The two of us created the, you know, the first music for Quixotic together, and to this day he is a huge part in all the music design. I mean, he's very involved. Even if he's not playing violin or viola, he's playing piano or just working with and assisting in arrangements. But he's also very integrated into our stage show. He's an incredible performer, has a magnetic personality on stage. People are just drawn to him. He's wireless on his violin, and he gets out there and really, really puts on a show. Just very lucky to have him. And then Laura Scarborough is our vocalist. She also is another composer in the group. She's a multi-instrumentalist. She is a Ableton wizard, you know, with the laptops, as well as she plays accordion and melodica and Rhodes and piano and vibes when we have room on stage for the vibes. And so she, you know, she's very unique in that kind of way. And she's an incredible addition as well to the group. And then Rick Willoughby, our bass player, he definitely has a you know, a classical background like Shane. And for the Kansas City Symphony show, he actually did all the arrangements for all the music for the entire symphony, as well as for our group. He took our music and took our songs and transform them into the symphonic for the arrangements that the symphony needs to play all those parts.
That's an enormous task.
Oh yeah, he's been working on that for 7 months. But you know, it's incredible that, you know, we have people within the group that can do that, you know, and you know, we didn't have to go outside and get somebody else involved. We were able to have one of our players do that is a huge deal, I think. And it's great. He really knows what I like as far as the types of tone and chords and just the, you know, the way I like stuff arranged. So since we play together, so he was able to create knowing what I like and what the rest of the band is really into. The other member in the band that I'll speak to is Brandon Draper, who is a percussionist, drummer, you know, incredible, one of the best drummers I've ever played with. He plays everything from tablas to marimba to drum set. He's very active in the community here, where he does a lot of stuff where it's drum and DJ work, where it's just, you know, he'll go and do symphony, you know, playing marching snare, to doing sets with DJs, to doing Tibetan gong meditation. anything percussive from whatever part of the world, he plays it, and he plays it incredibly well as writes for that. So a lot of our more tribal and percussive rhythms we'll do together, and then we'll infuse them with other elements on top. In our live shows, plays quite a few, you know, tabla and kanjira, and we both play dumbex, and you know, we love to mix the world percussion with the electro beats and whatnot. So it's a nice blend of that, and love to manipulate the acoustic sound with, you know, laptops, being able to tweak the live sound, a lot of stuff with looping as well, and being able to manipulate that. But so yeah, so that's pretty much the band. We do have a couple other players. Depending on the show, we'll bring in a quartet to make, you know, for larger scale shows, and if it's an appropriate, like when we did the show with the Nelson Atkins, we created a soundtrack inspired off of kind of the ambience of the sculpture garden. And we felt that really called for more like vibes and a quartet and an upright bass and more low key, a little bit more, you know, ambient kind of set. And so for that, we brought in a couple friends of ours to create more of that kind of, more of the lush string arrangement. But then we've done shows where we have like six percussionists with our band. So we like to be able to bring in, and just depending on what we're doing, we, you know, we'll definitely change it up, you know, and just to expand on the sound where we want to, depending on the performance.
Undercurrent from Quixotic Fusion, right here on the UNS Podcast.
You're going from sharing the stage with the Kansas City Symphony to a few weeks later, you'll be out in the middle of a field with barefooted hula hoopers and jam bands and the rock and roll vibe, and you're going to try, you know, appeal to that whole wide range.
Totally, and that's the thing, is it's funny because it is kind of a challenge too, because it's like, what do we want to do this week, or how to, you know, what angle? But it's just right now it's working for us to be, you know, to kind of like be a chameleon, kind of be diverse and go transform different directions to do what we do, and that's what we love. We thrive on that. I mean, because for the musicians, we're just totally loving the fact that we're going to be down there with all those incredible bands and that lineup that they have this year. And the dancers love it too, because, you know, one thing about our group is we're bringing a lot of elements that normally are done in like a typical proscenium or theater with dance. Mm-hmm. Just we're bringing it out into, you know, large audiences that are like right up on the stage. And like for a lot of our dancers that are concert dancers or ballet background, when they come to work with us, they're just blown away because the audiences, they're right there. Usually, like when, you know, in a typical like theater for, you know, dance and performance art, there's not as much of that audience interaction. You know, it's a little bit more in your face when we're doing it, because we have little platforms and runways that go off of our stage, and our dancers are like, you know, a few feet away from the audience members, and they're truly creating, you know, theatric experience.
And for fans who love music and love art and love performance,
right,
obviously.
Exactly. But our dancers are highly trained dancers. When I started this group with Keelan, you know, we've always used like professional dancers that train, that are very, very good at what they do, and it's really refined movements, and we take pride in that as well. It's funny, in the last 6 months, it's every time we put out a new promo reel, because the promo reels get better because we get better at what we do, and we put in, you know, we get better opportunities, and we put new videos out. And every time a new video gets out, we get, you know, at least 40 to 50 video resumes from some of the best dancers that I've seen. Just YouTube videos like, hey, we want to come work with you guys. What you're doing is so cool, and love how you integrate, you know, fashion and music, and it's so innovative, and how can we be a part of this, you know? And so it's really cool that we're appealing to other dancers as well as people in the music industry. So it is kind of a very unique deal.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing you at Wakarusa. Anthony Magliano from Quixotic Fusion, thank you so much for being on the UNS Podcast.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this week's UNS Podcast. Special thanks go to Emily Ginsberg with Pipeline Management, and of course my guest, Anthony Magliano. Quixotic Fusion will be performing with the Kansas City Symphony on Friday, May 13th, and of course, Quixotic will be making a number of appearances, including a post-headliner set on the main stage at this summer's Wakarusa Festival, the first weekend in June in Ozark, Arkansas. Coming up next week, Higher Organics will be on the UNS Podcast. Based in Berkshire County, Massachusetts, this trio has cultivated a sound that blends house, trance, and drum and bass with jam sensibilities. They'll be the host band at this summer's Big Up Festival in New York. Remember to visit theuns.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. You can still win tickets to Summer Camp, Wakarusa, and Electric Forest Festival, as well as Beats Antique, Lotus, and Wolfgang Gartner shows later this month. Just click on Contests. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS Podcast, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's ANAND @theuns.com. Catch you next week.